everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 398. This is the show where we talk about Android apps and so much more. I am your host, Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, as I have become known. And joining me this week are your friends and mine, the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin, and the manager, Eric Ardini, bringing back an old name. Hi, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How's it going?
Hey, Mark.
Anything interesting or exciting going on in your lives, or we just need to jump right into the apps? I know we always have a ton of apps, so it's not out of the ordinary to say let's get going. We've got a ton of apps. That's door. But
I'll say you talking about phones. I will not lie, Mark. I've been thinking for the last like month about what my next phone is going to be, and I think you and me mentally are kind of on the same line of what we need and want out of a phone. So I'll tell you what I'm telling myself, which is literally wait another at least 3 or 4 weeks, because we're gonna have some more phones coming out. I will say the two phones I want to ask you to literally try to give a fair mental shake to is Huawei and Xiaomi are both coming out with new phones here within 3 weeks. One of them was supposed to be a Nexus or a Nexus class.
Yeah, I've heard
device,
the rumors that Huawei is going to be building the replacement Nexus 5, I believe it is.
I can't remember. Well, there's going to be two Nexuses, everyone's saying. One is going to be like the Nexus 5, and the one's going to be like the Nexus 6 in size.
But you know the whole Nexus thing, right, was from the Philip K. Dick novel, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, became Blade Runner. The Androids were the Nexus 6 Androids. Rutger Hauer was a Nexus 6 model. So when Google came out with the Android operating system, they started with their phone, the Nexus 1. So by that standard, the Nexus 6 should be a mining robot that goes on a murderous bend, but it didn't happen that way.
Right. And I would hope the last made, because it probably wouldn't get better after that. And I'll say the only thing last week I didn't mention, I forgot, is in the realms of tablets, do not underestimate some of the off-brand, quote-unquote, overseas tablets. The one I have is the Cube i6 3G Air, or Air 3G, dual-boot Windows 8 and Android tablet, $200 was $189, I believe. Works like a charm. Works, I'm not going to say fantastic and perfect, but great for the money, solid device, dual-boot. So far, I like it. And I can put a T-Mobile SIM in it.
Maybe I'm on the wrong show to say this, but I've never been afraid to stick my foot in my mouth. I don't get the use of a tablet for a grown man. A tablet, to me, is nothing more than an entertainment device.
Right.
I have a big phone, right? Well, big-ish. It used to be considered a big phone, the 5-inch Nexus 5. Now it's kind of puny. Anything bigger is too unwieldy to carry. And I don't get it. Sell me on a tablet, Dor.
Well, first off, I've had Dell Streak 5, Dell Streak 7, Nokia 810. That was technically a tablet. Nexus 7. I've had two Nexus 7s. I had two Amazon Kindles. And after my last tablet, I said I'm never getting a tablet again. They're useless and pointless devices. The only place they have use or purpose is couch computing. When you're sitting with your wife watching a movie and you want to look up something on IMDb and not hold it close to your face. But this tablet, I basically have permanently in a case with a keyboard. So, and I have a 15-inch laptop. So when I don't want to carry around the 15-inch laptop, I carry around that device. And I have a wireless mouse I use with it, a full keyboard with it. And I can do nearly everything I need to do when I'm out and about on that device, like it was a laptop. So it's a cheaper, low-end laptop that gets just as good, if not better, battery life than a laptop. And I can have 3G, 4G connectivity with it. And I can.
So here's my problem with that. The real benefit of the larger screen is to get a larger screen experience with, say, a web page, things like that. But still, the mobile browsers suck by comparison.
No, I get full desktop mode on all my browsing experiences with Dolphin.
And I use...
I mean, that's not been my experience with Dolphin, but I'm not going to argue with your experience. Sorry, Eric.
You just got to put it in desktop mode, and you go to any web page, and you get the full desktop browser.
My tablet I've used many times in a conference to take notes quickly, just typing on a Bluetooth keyboard with it sitting.
I do that on my phone without a keyboard.
I don't want to be the guy in the conference on his phone. I don't want to be taking up half the table with my laptop. Just a 7-inch tablet and a little keyboard works really nice. It just worked good for me, and then I just email myself all of the notes I took.
So where I started this new job, it's now 3.5 years ago, but it was new at the time. The first meeting with the new team, new manager, we're talking, and I whip out my phone, open up Evernote, start taking notes. Manager reaches over, takes the phone away from me, puts it on the table, and says, "No texting during my meeting." Mm-hmm. Like, what are we, kindergartners? I'm not texting, I'm taking notes. And she looked at my phone and she saw that it actually had like 3 bullet points for what we talked about already. And she said, "Oh, okay." So ever since then, I've been the guy who takes notes on his phone. But I get that some people just immediately assume that all you can do on your phone is Angry Birds.
Yeah, and it's easier, honestly, to type on a keyboard for me.
Well, if you're hooked on the swipe, like I know Mark is, you can type really fast with a swipe keyboard. But I'll say also on my tablet, here's the other bonus in usage. YouTube on the desktop, you are inundated with ads. On Android, you get basically none of the pop-ups.
That's true.
So it's a much better YouTube experience on Android versus
That's temporary.
Desktop.
That's only because they can't figure out how to do it yet.
Well, it's been temporary now for 4 years.
And on the couch or in bed, I'd rather hold my tablet and mess with it than my phone anyway. I try to keep my phone separated from my play life, I guess.
So like the phone is work and the tablet is play?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I don't want to mess up my phone to the point I can't make a phone call if I need to. My tablet is just...
A lot of people say that.
I don't care, whatever. Until it gets too slow to use, and then I wipe it out and start again. Because it's the old Nexus 7. The new one, I would still be... I still hate myself for giving her that one, but... But no, I'm in the market for a new tablet, but I'm gonna wait too. I know there's some good stuff around the corner, even in the tablets.
Well, this is the bad time of year to buy a phone in terms of getting the latest and greatest, but it's also the good time of year to buy a phone in terms of getting the deals because people are emptying their stock of quote unquote old phones.
Empty the stock.
See, I'm taking doors quote unquote. Now it's become a thing that I do too.
I'm sorry, I really am. Okay. First thing I wanted to bring up, Mark, technically it's an app, but technically it's not an app. It's an ecosystem. Okay, Amazon decided to destroy, kill, kibosh, end of life, their free app of the day. But they're replacing it with a thing called Amazon Underground. Basically, all it is, it's another app for you to install on your phone. I love Amazon as a service. I got to throw that out there. But there are certain things they do that make me almost sick to my stomach. I install huge games, small apps from Google Play on my phone. It literally takes seconds, like 2 seconds, 3 seconds to install. I download small APK files, huge APK files, install them on my phone. It takes 2 seconds, maybe 4 seconds. I download Amazon Underground to my phone. It takes more than 30 seconds to install. And then I install an app from Amazon Underground. It takes over 30 seconds to install. And the whole time it's sitting there saying, installing, installing, I have this thing going through my head of, what kind of DRM is Amazon injecting into my device right now and tying down into my device and hooking and trying to make sure that I'm not a pirate or a crook kind of thing? So I actually really like this.
I would have to say it runs every bit as fast as the Amazon App Store did because it's always been a slow pig too, okay, thank you, Amazon, for a bunch of free games. But
No. Not free games. Now they're trying to differentiate by saying
totally free games.
Where in Google Play you see something that says free, and then you see small text that might say in-app purchases. Amazon's trying to differentiate by saying, no, this app is completely free. All in-app purchases and everything.
Maybe that's why it's taken so long, because it's got all those extra in-app purchases that you don't usually get with your original APK all installed in there. Yeah, I try to help them out, man.
But I know. I appreciate the fact that they're trying to disrupt. I just don't like the fact that they're disrupting
They need to get their code optimized or something in that in the whole Amazon. I mean, the shopping app, Amazon Store, that seems to be okay. I don't have a lot of problems there. But their app store's just, when it first came out, I didn't notice it. But as it's gone on, it hasn't gotten faster in any way. It's probably gotten slower. My devices have increased in speed, and the app app didn't.
Eric, I'm sure they would say if you had the Fire Phone.
Oh, that's true. I don't have a Kindle device.
But nobody has the Fire Phone, so
that could be my problem.
No, it's just too much DRM is my logic.
If you've already got it for free, why would they put all the DRM in it? What are you going to do with it? Give it away for free to somebody else?
Yes, and if you give it to away to somebody without that app installed, or if you uninstall the Amazon Underground app, then those apps won't work.
With that, I got you.
Yeah, they basically like phone home every time you open them up and run.
I might test that out. It's been a while since I installed an Amazon app.
All right, so Eric, did you have an app to bring? So we'll do it round robin style.
I've got this one. It's called. I should have checked the. Did I show you guys an app last week called Amazing Run 3D? I didn't check the.
I don't believe so.
Let me put this in here in the spreadsheet real quick and check this. I hate being. No, I don't see it. Okay, sorry about that. I had the spreadsheet up and I was getting ready to check and I just forgot to. This is called Amazing Run 3D by Worlds Mobile, and I think this game cost money. Is it okay? Cool.
No, it's free.
Basically, this is that that game show.
Horrible show. It's not,
Wipeout. Yes, it's Wipeout. Like Wipeout.
I love that show.
Yeah, it's
my kids love that show. It's one of the few things we can watch together.
This app is rated E for everyone 10+, and it does have in-app purchases. I didn't look to see if on Amazon I can get it without, but I didn't get anywhere where I needed to actually buy them. So far, so good. But yes, it's basically Wipeout, really fanciful backdrops and things like that, because it's not a real world, so they can do anything they want, but you play it the same way.
Yep. I would say my main gripe with Wipeout is it's the typical American game show where somebody has to win. I've grown a little bit fond of the Japanese game shows where everyone loses. And to win is really uncommon.
There used to be a Japanese version of it that was dubbed to English. Do you remember that? And then, like the people who were announcing it had these big flowy robes on, like they were straight out of China or something. It was such a funny show when they dubbed it over, and I can't remember what that was called.
They had a bunch of shows that were aired here a little bit,
and they would just say that just random stuff when they go to start. It's like, yay! They would just randomly throw some crazy words like West Virginia or something, just right before he starts.
Are you talking about the Ninja Warrior show? The original?
This was outside, though, like this. And it was like they had water underneath it a lot. I don't know. I don't think it may have been.
Ninja Warrior, they weren't dressed crazy. Some of the contestants would come out with octopuses. Weird stuff.
That. I specifically remember the announcers being all dressed up in crazy robes or something. Anyway, that Amazing Run 3D. It's everything you would expect.
Wow. 95,000 reviews. That's a lot of reviews.
My kids like to play the Wii version of that game, essentially, on the Wii Fit. So I think I'll put this on a kid's tablet.
Another justification for a tablet.
Yeah, for a kid.
Yeah. For a kid.
Yeah. For a kid.
All right, Dor, what's next in your tank?
Okay, this game to me is a clone of a semi-popular to popular game. I believe it's called Chasing the Sun on Steam, on Linux, on Android, on everything. This is a clone of that game to me. It's an endless racing game where basically the camera is top down from behind you, and you go right and left. You're constantly going forward. Power-ups, really hard to avoid everything. But unlike Chasing the Sun, this is super colorful and bright. But coincidentally, there's a sun on the horizon line that it looks like you do have to chase. Fast-paced game you almost have to get like instinctive in how you avoid stuff, because it does. It is not easy. Nothing about this game is easy.
It's so fast.
Right, but it is fun. I believe it was completely free. In-app purchases, E for Everyone, Crimson Pine Games, SPZOO, whatever that is, Geometry Race, colorful, super colorful. My kids loved it, but boy, did they get annoyed really quick at it.
Is it a tilt to control?
I had it to where I just touched the two sides of the screen, but there was multiple options. I do believe one of them is tilt.
If I tilted to control this game, I'd throw my tablet across the room. I can tell just by watching the video for this thing. Oh, I'd be raging. It wouldn't turn fast enough. I'd nail everything.
Well, you know, the more you move your body, the better it works. You can actually turn your body around in your office chair, and that makes it work better. At least it feels like it does. That's what I end up doing in those.
Yeah, I got a chair here. I should hook that up to my sensor somehow.
But this was definitely fun. But it was also 10 minutes after playing it, I said to myself, I have to uninstall this game.
Because it would suck your life away?
Too easy. Too easy to just have time.
So is it a winnable game? It looks, the video looks really fast.
Yes and no. Your goal is to make it so far in each area, and then you get promoted to different areas with different class of obstacles all around you kind of thing. It's like you got to make it 5 miles in each area, and then next area you have to make it 5 miles, and the next area 5 miles. And I'm sure each area gets a little bit more complicated. Once stuff starts to move around you, that's where it gets really dangerous, because like when you're riding a motorcycle, the golden rule is if you look at something, you're going to hit it. And when something's moving in front of you, you look at it. So it's really hard to not hit something that's moving in front of you.
All right.
I got a.
So, all right, Eric, you got another one?
Game too. That's Dora's gonna hate this game. It's called Loop Ball, and yeah, because it's kind of Flappy Birdish. Basically, you
No video again. It's both of your apps have no video. What's up with that?
Do you watch the video before you play a game or before you install?
I watch them when I'm on the show.
I don't even know if they have I don't even know if they have a video when I install it and play it. Basically, you've got all these circles, and the circles have a small cutout out of them, and they're arranged vertically above each other, and you basically have to tap to jump. You got to jump out of the circle when that small cutout is open at the top. You pop out of that one and pop into another circle when it's open at the bottom, wait for it to spin around, and then go to the next one. And this is an extremely hard game, much like Angry Birds, where I can't make it past 2, so. But
so it's one of those games that's all about timing.
Yeah, it is. Exactly that. Tapping and timing.
Well,
no, not Angry Birds isn't about timing. Angry Birds? Flappy Bird. What? Yeah.
Flappy Bird was not only about timing, it was about inhuman timing.
And that,
it was just not a playable game.
That's similar to this. And actually, the thing that you move sort of looks like a bird in a way. I don't know if it is or not, for sure.
I don't know, but I see an excellent opportunity, Eric. If you go to YouTube and look for Loop Ball Android, there's not a single video. So if you create a video of this, you will own everyone in the world looking for Loop Ball videos.
Is that an opportunity? Is that something?
Sure. I don't know.
You could get dozens of views.
I could use that for the new launch of Genie Media. That would be, man, I wish, I don't even have to get on Shark Tank. I got you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now I just got to remember which app it was that did the screen recording, and I'll be in.
S-H-O-U period.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the app that does the screen recording where you don't need root.
I got something to do tomorrow.
Be sure you do it on your tablet, so it'll be a big video.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Higher pixel count. Yeah, that's good. Good call.
All right, one last one, Dora. I'm going to give you the last word.
Okay, this app, I'm going to say, is the kind of thing, honestly, I hate saying it like this, but we have to bring. YouTube launched their new service where it's nothing but gaming-related videos, streaming or just the regular YouTube videos that are centered around gaming. This is rated mature 17+, and that's because, for some reason, 99.999% of the people that record video game content or stream video game content also cuss like they're sailors who are drunk.
Well, that's how you know you're cool.
Tom, it ain't smoking no more. It's cussing.
To me, that's the only thing that I really can't stand, because I know my kids, everybody they know are watching YouTube videos. It's literally like when they ask kids now, what do you like doing? Play Minecraft and watch YouTube. So it's hard. I wish this service had a content filter for language. I'm just saying, I would honestly feel okay with giving it to my kid if it had content filters on it. But no, it doesn't. So no, they're not getting this.
What this app is an age detector app. If you look at this and you don't understand it or you immediately hate it, you know that you're over 40. Because this, I just don't get it. I understand this is the thing now, right? The kids today are all about playthroughs, but everything about this doesn't make sense to me. One thing, for example, you could already do this, right? And it's already on YouTube. This app is essentially a tag gatherer. So there's this whole other app that doesn't do anything but gather videos that are already on YouTube.
Well, no. This is also trying to be more of a direct competitor with Twitch, in where you could do live video game streaming with YouTube, but now they wanted a ecosystem just for that, just like Twitch is supposed to be game-focused. They are supposed to add easier controls so you can record your screen and the webcam at the same time, where right now in like Hangouts, that's not easy to do. You can show your screen or you can show your webcam, but you can't do both. So they are trying to work on some features towards that, but they are not great features. They're features that the other services already have, so they're just trying to keep up with them, I guess, because Twitch makes a lot of money, supposedly.
I don't get it. Get off my lawn. That's all I got to say about this.
Yeah. Well, I will admit this to you, Mark. I do, and I have watched what's called speed runs on YouTube, but the speed runs I'm watching are literally like Mario 2, Mario 3, Link to the Past, classic games, Castlevania, stuff like that, just so I can have someone show me just how bad I really was at those games.
I've got to say, yeah. I've watched some Grand Theft Auto 5 videos where these gangs of people all record themselves and then they put it up on YouTube, and they're together the entire time they're in the game. They're basically making their own movie, you know. I think they might, you know, collaborate ahead of time and decide what they're going to do and where they're going to go and if they're all going to jump on this bus at the same time and ride on the roof while their friend drives. And some of it's pretty funny and fun and makes me think that I'm never going to be good enough at gaming to do any of this stuff, but it's fun to watch them.
And you know, some of the new modern games are actually, they're cinematic in their story. They're actually fun to watch, and I get that. I just don't get the whole culture that goes around it, right? So going back, 15 years or so, right, there was Red versus Blue that did their Machinima videos with Halo. But those were, you know, scripted, edited, cut together. You had characters, you had plot lines. It was a whole different thing. They were just using the game as their tool.
That's like, the Grand Theft Auto ones are too, because they don't use the plot that comes with the game. It's a wide open canvas too, and there's just many more things you can do on that than you could on the Red versus Blue Halos back then.
And I think it's almost become, let me say from the start, I'm not a gamer. I'm a casual gamer at best. But it seems to me that modern games, it's as important. The content is as important outside of the game, right? When you go off track, as it is when you're playing the campaign or whatever. You know, it's these expansive worlds where you can play the campaign or you can just turn left and go do your whole thing. And that seems to be what's building the community. The people play the campaigns, they're done with those in a few days, and then the rest of the time they're in the game, they're essentially, you know, a Second Life or a virtual worlds thing.
Well, another thing too is these are today's telephones. You know, like say some of the cool kids had a teen line when we were kids. Everybody has these. Well, not everybody, but a lot of kids have consoles, and this is how these kids communicate after school. If they're not hanging out in the park together, this is their telephone. They don't use a telephone. They get online. They're the same buddies every day. They probably went to school with them earlier that day, and they're just hanging out, talking to each other, and, you know, this is how they communicate now.
Well, and I'll say, like, when we were a kid, Mark, we had, you know, 227, give me a break, welcome back, COD, or whatever kind of thing. And that was what we did. And then we had our action figures and fireworks and Legos and stuff. Kids today seem to center around everything video game related. Video games now make more money than Hollywood. Video games now cost more money to make than stuff in Hollywood. So where the money is where the eyeballs are at. Kids, and dare I say, kids can turn their own stuff on and record their own stuff. My kid wants to do videos of some kind. God forbid, I don't know why. But he also wants to just watch people just doing stuff. He does go back in that game, Minecraft, and then he tries to do some of the things that he sees, but he literally just likes to see what can be done. Instead of us with the laid-back experience of watching Nell Carter or Different Strokes, it's a kind of thing that they see and then they can do. That's my only explanation for it. Not that I think that's the utter truth. I think there's some truth in it. And I used to be a gamer. I used to be a belligerent, hardcore, take off of work for 3 days straight gamer. Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City. When I was off work. And I was pretty drunk most of the time, too, playing those games. But now I just don't have any
time,
any thing telling me I got to sit down and play a game. Oh, even if I didn't do podcasts, I still wouldn't be sitting down playing games just because...
You know, I just can't sit down just too that much long like in front of a TV doing anything. Maybe podcasting, but I'm not down there. I'm not as much as I just don't. I enjoy it. The times that I have picked up, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to pick it up. And I love playing Grand Theft Auto 5. And there's Paradise City on the Xbox. Great game. I mean, great graphics. I love beautiful graphics. I always have. And I just can't break down and put myself in front of a TV that long. And I can't watch it. I don't watch movies either, you know, or TV or Xbox. And it's all the same thing. I don't like sitting in front of a screen any more than I have to at work or whatever.
10 years ago or whatever it was when the Xbox 360 came out, I went and plunked down a bunch of money on it and bought two games. I bought Halo 2 and Madden NFL 01, whatever it was.
Oh, I love playing Madden games. Yeah.
And I enjoyed those games, but when I went online to play Halo, so the campaign mode, I was, you know, pretty good, I thought. And then I went online, and my gamer tag name was Target Drone, because I just recognized that's all I was at that point. You know, I would spawn, I would take 3 steps, I would die. I would spawn, I'd take 5 steps, I would die. And not only die, but have a 9-year-old cussing me out while I'm dying. And that's when I just kind of put the controllers away and said, I'm too old for this. I'm Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon. I'm getting too old for this. And I walked away.
Yeah, I'm horrible. See, luckily, my son has been underage for a while. So he's been using my gamer tag the whole time. Because I got the Xbox 360 fairly early. I bought mine used from a crackhead or something. But I've had that for a long time with the same gamer tag and now the Xbox One. And, yeah, he's leveling me up. I'm pretty – Dini Media is pretty good.
Well, I'll just say before we're too far off tangent.
We are way off.
Mark, I just encourage you to look at this. It's called Artemis. If you've never heard of it, this is the kind of multiplayer game you can play and you would not be a target drone. But it's a totally different style of game. What it is supposed to be is, for instance, you, me, Seth, Chris, and Eric all sitting in one room, all of us with computers in front of us, and we're all separate stations on a starship, on one starship. And our goal is to basically play... survive, explore, destroy stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah, so this is not an Android game. It's a Windows game. Windows only. Mac and Linux computers may get it to work under
this
one.
This is a game I would never... I don't think I'd ever play this game.
This is a game I've been nudging people now That's what for it looks 5 years.
That's what it looks like.
How it could be cool. Because we could play it all in Google Hangouts where you have one computer on Google Hangouts, one computer in Artemis. And all just playing. And the best of all, at least at the beginning, the captain wasn't supposed to have a computer. Everyone was supposed to talk. The captain was supposed to hear people and then tell everyone what to do. And we had a blind friend who I thought, this is perfect. He can't see the screen anyway. He could be the captain.
Well, it says Artemis iOS and Android version 2.1, $2.99 each.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but the Android version, I want to say, is not the full game. I'm trying to remember what it is.
So here's one of the quote-unquote praise things for it. This is LARPing for science fiction fans. I don't know if that's a compliment, frankly.
Well, maybe we have
when
to
all
be
our
happy
wives are asking
honest.
For just one more game, you know you've got something special on your hands.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a use for a tablet, Mark. If you take a look at Artemis in the App Store, which I did forget, thank you, Eric, it is essentially the full game, but you better have a big screen. You try to play this on your phone, I'm pretty sure you're going to be pretty upset.
Well, it says it's compatible with all of my devices. It means it'll run on it anyway.
Well, and here's a plus. If you watch the video, you'll see Roger Chang. So it must be good, right?
Yeah.
Because Roger Chang's in it?
We need to set up our desks like that, too. You know, in rows sequentially behind each other. This will be real.
Do I have to wear a Star Trek costume to play it?
Mm-hmm. No, just a t-shirt. We'll put a little thing on the front.
Because everybody here has a Star Trek costume. I'm not judging. Truly, I'm not. Whatever your thing is great. It's just not my thing.
There are different levels of dedication, Mark. We all are at our own level.
All right. So I think this is a good time to pull the plug before I dig myself any deeper. I do want to say a bit of a programming note. For a while, this show has been three shows a week. Three sort of truncated shows. We're abandoning that format after this week. So this will be the last Monday, Wednesday, Friday week. The next week, starting with episode 400, we will go back to the regular weekly format. So just be aware of that. And if you're doing the math in your head right now and you say this is 398, but you're going to start with 400, how are you going to do that? Fun with numbers, my friend. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, we've all heard of
algebra.
Oh, man, yeah, I can't remember what it's called. Irrational yes. numbers, was it?
Imaginary, even.
Yeah, imaginary numbers. Yeah, that's how it's easy.
All right, well, thank you, for gentlemen, for your varied commentary and the games that you brought. And thank you, listener, for hanging out with us. I'm going to say that's it for this episode, and we'll see you next time on Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.